This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey, Ola, it's Miles. Thank you guys for listening to the Men's Room Daily Podcast.
Have you heard our newest podcast? It's called The Greatest Story Never Told.
Download it today on radio.com. Be sure to subscribe. New episodes are uploaded every Tuesday at noon.
Unfortunately, what you're about to hear is real. The members of this radio program are simply not that bright, or what some people would call educated. They are merely stupid. They're not trying to offend anyone on purpose, and all have played doctors on TV. You have been warned and are cordially invited to join the party. This is the Men's Room.
Forget it, man, and get with the countdown. Get with the countdown. Shake this square world and blast off for Kicksville. The trippers, the grasshoppers, the hip ones, all gathered in secrecy and flying high as a kite.
This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill. You know what they say, shake your radio more than three times, and you're playing with it. You're listening to The Men's Room.
And away we go. Welcome to season 15, episode number 3,323. Along with Steve the Thrill Hill, the Ted Smith, and Mike Hawk. And you are the Men's Room. On tap today, the return of Ted versus the FCC. We will play Profile This, plus headlines, Men's Room Shout of the Day, fun with listener emails, and everyone's favorite, TV Time with Ted.
Click, clack, drink and enjoy.
All right, here we go. A dairy farm apologizes to the Hindu community after offering a yoga with the cows class. A new dating site for Tesla owners are maybe looking to get some of that COVID-19 ass. Kids who started fire in Pennsylvania high-rise cooking chicken nuggets, probably using an air fryer. Meth user who tried to sell kid a gas station couldn't have been any higher. And Hasbro Toys recalls the Super Soaker XP20 because 2020. That is all coming on today's very special episode of The Men's Room.
And now, here's the question.
Hola, bitches. Good day to you and yours. All right, I have some fantastic news on a positive Friday. It's finally over. I'm talking, of course, about the college admission scandal involving Massimo, whatever the hell his last name, and his wife, Lori Loughlin. Both were sentenced to prison earlier today. Massimo got 5 months, while Aunt Becky got 2 months. Now, both pleaded guilty to fraud charges for paying $500,000 to get their two daughters into USC. Actress Felicity Huffman, you might recall, she served 11 days of her 14-day sentence for the same thing. Meanwhile, earlier today, another sentence handed down, in this case to Joseph D'Angelo. Anyone recognize that name? No. Joseph D'Angelo. Let me know if I give you his alias, the Golden State Killer. He was sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole. And frankly, that's really not bad for a guy that, one, confessed to raping 50 women, two, admitted murdering 13 of them, and three, is already 74 years old. But he did say he was really sorry. I'm not making that up. And now we go to Singapore, where a British man, he was busted with marijuana and meth, and drugs are very strongly frowned upon there. But he didn't have to go to prison. Instead, he was stripped naked and flogged 24 times in public. And apparently, from what I've heard of the caning or flogging, a lot of people say it's even worse. But who knows? And then finally, there's the story of young Zayden Ward. He did what any little kid does. He got in trouble at school for interrupting class. Ha ha ha. His punishment, His mother made him dance the floss until he couldn't dance anymore. Now, it doesn't sound like the worst punishment, but if you get a chance to see the video, I'm telling you, it is a truly sad and pathetic thing to watch this kid bawl while he's doing his favorite dance. But anyway, this brings us to today's question. We have all gotten in trouble. We have all known people that have gotten in trouble. And it's not the getting in trouble that's the problem. It's the punishment that is the problem. So today's question is this. What did you get in trouble for, and what was the punishment?
Be part of the Big Show. Call 206-421-ROCK. Like the Men's Room on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Men's Room Live. Text 77999 and send those emails to themensroom@kisw.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
The Men's Room returns with Miles and Thrill, 99.9 KISW.
Over the and away we go. Welcome to Season 15, Episode number 3,323. What a large and in charge program we have for you today. Guaranteed future repeat and a positive Friday.
All positive Friday. Positive.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And the exciting return of Ted versus the FCC. We're going to try to take over the radio station and do a bad choice Friday thing, but I don't think we got the green light on that one yet. We're still working. Still pushing through. We got plenty of plans. See if we can nudge Ryan Castle into letting us just go rogue and play whatever the hell we want.
Well, we could just do it and then get in trouble later.
You know, that's always an option, but I don't know if that's the best option.
But here's the beauty of the whole social distancing thing. He's at home. So right. The worst it would be is like an angry Zoom call.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
Like, I want to see it. And the problem with us.
And we can mute him.
We're not even equipped in here to do a Zoom call because none of the computers in here have cameras. So,
yeah.
So technically, you know what I mean? We could sit here and moon him and flip him off and everything else.
He wouldn't know.
He had no idea. You just see him all mad, like, why did you play Chumbawamba? It's because it's Friday. We want a whiskey drink, you know, and all that stuff.
You know? I got, you know what? I'll drink the cider.
All right. Okay. Very cool. Very cool. But, yeah, big show for you today. We're going to talk about a little bit of punishment here, and punishment comes in all forms and,
like an angry Zoom call.
If you're a kid, then, your punishment's going to be a little bit different than if you're an adult.
Yes.
We know for a fact, even when we get birthday requests in here, Coach Ted will tell people, remember, you're 18 years old. There's a big difference between being 17 years old and 18 years old as far as the way life will treat you.
Yeah,
if you
prison.
If you really mess up, that was the words of my stepfather. Just quite clear about that. He's like, look, you're 18 now, so everything is different. No matter what you do now, there's going to be legal ramifications, and because you're an adult, I'm not so willing that I'm going to be there to help you.
No, you're an adult.
And that was the kind of the threat,
right.
You know? And as far as he was concerned growing up, he wasn't one of those people that wanted, he didn't want to put you through a whole lot of crap. He basically just like, look, I never got grounded for anything I did because he wanted me out of the house.
Sure.
But I would get my ass beat. I mean,
right.
I would,
and that's worse. People that get grounded, my friends would get grounded, like, I can't do anything for 2 weeks. And now, we both got busted for the same crime because we're in cahoots. And I'm like, all right, well, you can't come outside for 2 weeks. Can you sit down comfortably? If your answer is yes, I'll trade with you because in the end, you're hanging out in your room, and as I recall, your bedroom is where you had all the crap you like anyway. Me, I got my ass beat, man.
My grandmother, her technique was a wooden spoon. So she would beat you with a wooden spoon, which wasn't the worst thing in the world. It was kind of a softer punishment. But I think the one that psychologically messed me up the most as far as the process of it goes, if I really got, you know, in trouble, then I would have to go out back. We had an apple tree in our yard.
Mm-hmm.
I would have to go get a switch. Basically, the branch that, you know, like a whip.
Why do they call it a switch if they're going to hit you with it? Because every now and then, it's a stick, it's a branch, yeah. It's a tree part. But if you're going to get beaten with it, we'll call it a switch. It doesn't sound as bad.
It's like climbing the tree, and then you gotta rip this thing off, and it's a live branch, so it's kind of hard to rip off. And then you clear off all the leaves, the apples, whatever, and bring this damn thing in, man. And then you just got beat with it on the back of your legs, on your ass. And I mean, it was the worst, because the process of getting this thing, you were basically getting the instrument that was going to beat you. So you were really strategically trying to get one that you
But they know this. And they would send you back out to go, no, you're going to need a thicker branch.
That's not good. You're in trouble.
I'm not here to tell you. For me, it was the belt. I never had to grab a switch, but it was just the belt.
And the belt comes off.
He wouldn't even have to get that.
I was going
to
say, it's that whole process.
Because they take their time. Your father is savoring the fact that he's about to beat your ass with a belt.
Bend over.
Yeah, I mean, it's real slow coming. But to be fair, I think I got hit with the belt maybe three times total. I got spanked plenty. But the belt was kind of like you committed the kid version of a felony, right? So, I mean, like, you're going to Beltville. And after three of those, I'm like, okay, let's just do the misdemeanor crime, maybe get yelled at, maybe get spanked. But the belt was the thing.
Right.
It was the snap of the belt.
Oh, what, you don't have to snap it before you hit me with it. I understand, right? Whoops. We know.
And not only that, but there was, every single class that I walked in from about third grade all the way up until, I guess, I got into high school. You walked in, and immediately on the door, there was a paddle, and it was hanging on a nail.
Mm-hmm.
Every room had a paddle in it. Now, some paddles were different than others. Some paddles, guys would get creative in shop class, and they would take their paddle in there and basically bore holes down in it. And then when you heard your classmate get whipped, you heard the whistling sound of the paddle, and then you heard the smack. Yeah. It was a much different thing. And I do remember in shop class at one point in time when I was in the ninth grade, one of our assignments was to make new paddles for the teachers for next year.
Oh, isn't that nice?
Yeah, so
great.
Right, exactly. I mean, this is the world that we lived in. And when you got your ass beat at school, then you, from that point on, it was a step process. You'd get your ass beat by the teacher, then you would go down to the principal's office.
Mm-hmm.
The principal typically wasn't the one who would handle the physical punishment.
The vice principal. Right.
And if you talk to the vice principal, he might just whack you, and maybe you didn't go to the principal, depending on what it was you did.
Sure.
But when you got to the principal was one who was more of the judge. So he was just going to tell you what your punishment was, because you've already been beaten a couple times.
And keep in mind, you have another beating coming when you get home.
Exactly. This is only
these are intermediary.
You haven't even gotten to the worst of it yet,
right?
Because you have not gotten home. I've already called your parents. They already know what's happening at that point in time. Your heart sinks down in your stomach. You don't care now. And to be honest with you, the principal was the best, because he was giving you time off of school. So even though they looked at it as a punishment, in our minds, he was like, because I remember one time, our principal, Mr. Walls, he said, I'm going to give both of you 2 days off. And my buddy sitting next to me, because we got in a fight, goes, can we have three? And that way, we don't have to come to school Friday, and we'll have like a five-day weekend. Just 5 day weekend. And he was like, what if I gave you four then?
Keep talking, brother.
Can we do Monday, too? You know, like, because...
like, if I slap your coffee mug off of your desk, will that add a day?
Yeah. We're still getting our assignments. It's like homeschool. You're still responsible for doing your homework during this time. So you are at home. You are doing your work. You can get that work done in about 3 hours compared to a seven-hour day. So then you have, you know,
Getting suspended from school, I'm like, man, keep in mind, they suspended me the first time when I first started cutting school. You know, I missed like 2 weeks, and then they suspended me for a week. And I'm like, you guys really don't understand how this works, but okay.
Mm-hmm.
I've made it clear. I don't want to be here, but now you're mandating. You have made, like, my parents can't even argue this point. They can be mad at me, but they can't argue that I need to go to school. Like, yes, sorry. They told me to stay home.
Yeah,
like, so they want Saturday detention sucked. Right?
Saturday sucked, but I never showed up for Saturday. That's just, it's one of those things. Like, look, I never did homework. I refused to do Saturday detention. I got in a lot of trouble for that, too. Mm-hmm. I said, bro, it's Saturday. Like, again, to me, this is not hard to understand. If you don't pay me, there's no chance I'm doing extra anything for you. And there's no real trouble, because, again, as a kid, you understood the limit of the trouble. The worst thing that's going to happen is my parents are upset. I do not go to jail for this. I'm not going to be gunned down in the street. Nobody's hunting me down. You're just mad at me. I don't care that you're mad. That is a you problem.
Sure. And then there comes a time where you get to be about 15, 16 years old, and now you have this bright idea in your head that no matter what happens when you get home, you're kicking your dad's ass. There's no doubt about it. Look.
I thought that once.
I got once. I was 16 years old. I got into a bit of trouble. He's like, I'm taking your car away. You're not going to be able to use your car. You're not going to have your car privileges. I said, listen to me. I said, you told me if I wanted a car, I needed to go and make money and pay for one. So guess what I did? I went and made money and I saved up my money and I bought myself a car. The car is registered in my name. The insurance is in my name. This is not your piece of property. I pay for the gas. The one thing that you can't tell me to do is the one thing that I own. This is my possession. You told me how to get it. Now you can't take that away. I don't have to live here. I'll go live in my car someplace. If you want to kick me out of the house, that's fine, but you have no say about my car. Now, basically what he was doing was he was getting rid of the remedial labor in his home. So if I left, the grass wouldn't get cut.
Right.
If I left, his cars didn't get washed. If I left, all these chores that I had, which was a huge list, wouldn't get done. For me, that was like freedom.
Of course.
So I was fine living out of my car. You know, it's my car. Like, I'm happy about my car. I have sex in my car. I do everything I can in my car. Like, I can live in my car. I don't really care. You know what I mean? And at one point in time, I kind of stood up like, I'm going to kick your ass. And he looked at me and I realized, he's going to beat my ass. You know what I mean? So I kind of just backed down or whatever. But at that point in time, I'm like, no, you can do whatever you want, but you can't do it. And I think that was the first time I ever really stood up to authority in that way.
I've stood up to authority, but there were times. The only time I thought, like, all right, physically, I'm going to handle my father, right? You get in that mode. 16, same thing. And I don't remember what I got in trouble for. But when my mom said, I'm going to tell your dad when he gets home, like, she actually meant it this time. Like, I was in that much trouble. So what's worse is, if my father's in a good mood, he's whistling. And I remember I hear his car pull up, and he gets out of the car, and he's whistling. And there's nothing worse than ruining a parent's good mood. So I hear him whistle, and then I hear, like, the muffled conversation. My mom, talking about me, obviously, right? But I don't know what she's saying. And I hear my father, I hear him storming up the stairs. Now, I'm sitting on the edge of my bed, because I know he's coming into my room. And I'm not worried about this. I've been waiting for this all day. And in my head, I have psyched myself up to the point. All I can think is, this old man does not know what he's in for. I'm going to beat his ass. If he's got a problem, man, I'm going to show him what's up. You know, there's a new man in the house. It's that simple. My bedroom door flew open, and I swear this on my life, he did it with his mind. Because my door flew open, and his hands were in his pockets. So I don't know how he opened the door, okay? But my door flew open.
That's smooth, though.
And we made eye contact. And I guess he could tell that, you know, I'm getting myself all fired up. And he was real cool. He just said, something you want to say to me? And this is my opportunity. So I looked him right in the eye and said, no, sir. And just took my man every bit of self-preservation, said, don't say, he wants to kill you right now.
Aunt Becky is going to prison.
My bad, Sam.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Only for 2 months, actress Lori Loughlin of Full House fame received the sentence today over her role in the college admissions scam.
Whoa. She was also in Fuller House. Give her credit, man.
Oh, that's a good boy.
Yeah, she's very.
Prior to her sentencing, her husband, Massimo Giannulli.
Come on, Miles. I heard you listen to it 3 times.
Yeah, I got it. Massimino Giannulli, right? That's not right?
No, I'm just kidding.
Okay.
I think it's Massimo, right?
It's Massimo, yeah. Massimo Giannulli.
Yeah, I mean, are you trying to figure out how to say it? I have no idea how to say it.
Look at this. I mean, hell, I grew up in an Italian household. That looks like a dish you'd make.
The Massimo.
Hey, exactly. Get the Massimo Giuli.
Put the Massimo in the Giuliani.
With the side of the Lord Lachlan.
Massimo's wife's in jail, huh?
Yeah.
Well, he's a clothing designer. I believe he's got the high-end stuff that's in Target or something.
I think I'm wearing a shirt now.
Are you really?
I don't know.
I had no idea he was a real guy, but we have all owned Massimo's stuff.
Oh, my God, you are wearing this dude's stuff.
Yeah. It's a Target shirt.
Get out of here, that's what I'm saying.
Well, my wife told me, she goes, oh, my, do you know who Massimo Giannulli is? I said, I don't know. It's Lori Loughlin's husband. She's like, that's the Target dude. Again, I have the blank Homer Simpson stare, like, what? She's like, Massimo. I'm like, oh, that is a person?
That's until they started cheating on college stuff. I just thought it was a brand.
I don't know what the difference is. He got 5 months. His wife got 2 months. Either way, they're saying he
was more involved in the entire scandal than she was.
All right, both of them pled guilty to fraud charges for paying about $500,000 to make sure their two daughters got into USC as bogus members of the school's rowing team. Neither of their daughters are rowers. Under the plea deal, the judge also ordered Gianoli to pay $250,000 fine. 250 hours of community service. Laughlin must pay $150,000, do 100 hours of service. No word yet on when the pair will start their sentencing, but I guess all things considered, those aren't the harshest penalties ever in the world.
And look, neither one of them's going to do the full sentence. It's not the worst thing, but it also wasn't the worst crime. It's an annoying crime, but it's not the worst thing you can do.
Now, here's
and
the
Miles,
worst crime.
We all know. You only do 2 days.
Yeah.
The day you go in and the day you get out.
That's it.
She's going to talk like that when she gets up. Yeah. You might remember me as Aunt Becky.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Mm-hmm. I've done time now, player.
Yeah. I got a new celly.
Now we go to the worst with Joseph D'Angelo. I don't know what's up with Italians not being able to stay on the straight and narrow these days, but he is better known as the Golden State Killer.
Oh.
Won't be getting out of prison ever. He's 74 years old. Received the sentence of life without the possibility of parole.
Wait. No. Listen. He's 74. I'd say go give him life in prison, which is 50 years. You have to do, at least one-third of your sentence before you're eligible for parole. He'd be 91 mm-hmm. by the time he's eligible for parole.
He is a former police officer in California. A decade-long string of murders, sex attacks, told victims he was truly sorry in court, and I'm sure that went over well. To avoid the death penalty, he had pleaded guilty to 13 murders and 13 rape-related charges for crimes between 1975 and 86. In all, he admitted to having 87 victims in more than 50 crimes in 11 of the state counties.
Jeez.
I've listened to your statements, each one of them, and I'm truly sorry to everyone I've hurt. Thank you.
Apology accepted.
No problem, bro.
Oh, that's all we needed to hear.
You're good, man. You're good.
Yeah, water under the bridge.
Yeah. Let's see here. What else is it? I'm truly sorry to everyone hurt. Thank you, Your Honor. His case is the subject of an HBO documentary, I'll Be Gone in the Dark. That is based on the investigative book by the late Michelle McNamara. That was the wife of comedian Patton Oswalt, who died 2 years before his arrest in 2016. Our question, what did you get in trouble for, and what was the punishment? 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Robert. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, fellas.
Hola.
All right, so I'm 41 now. I was about 8 years old, and I decided to shoplift some cassette tapes.
What tapes were you grabbing, by the way? Were these blank tapes?
All I wanted was some Def Leppard, man. I really just wanted some Def Leppard music. So I shoplifted Def Leppard cassette tapes, two of them.
Which albums?
Well, I do not remember, unfortunately.
Probably Pyromania had to be one. Possibly High and Dry.
I'm okay, because I'm going to judge you if one of them was...
But you got to remember...
Hysteria?
Hysteria. God, I hated that album.
You think that when you see the size of a regular cassette tape, it's probably 5 inches by 2 or 3 by whatever it is. It's a small thing. But the way they kept you from shoplifting these things is they put them in these long plastic things.
Yeah.
That were like, it was a cassette jail. You couldn't figure out how to break into these.
Because people like our friend Robert here were otherwise just stealing them with ease.
So to stick these things down your pants, I mean, they drop down about 10, 15 inches in your pants. I would know because I used to steal cassettes.
Highly uncomfortable.
Yes.
So I stole these cassette tapes. I got to enjoy them for a few days. My dad caught on, and he saw through my story. And I'm sure I got grounded, but the punishment that had the biggest impact is that he took those cassette tapes, and instead of taking me back to the store to return them with a note or something, he smashed them with his steel-toe boot.
And that crushed you worse than if you would have had to have returned them?
He smashed music. That was terrible.
Okay. I guess at that age, no, man, it's Def Leppard.
This is why you needed a double cassette deck. See, you could have copied one of those things and then hit them and still had your music.
It was the original bootlegging, man.
Yeah.
Good point.
And Metallica wasn't even pissed off if we did that.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what I mean? We could tape as many other... Yeah, that's what we did. We traded tapes and we copied them.
Every tape I got, though, and look, I work in radio now, so I understand, but like every time, dude, check out this new song, the first thing you heard was... on KISW 99.9, and then the song was
because we take stuff off the radio.
Yeah, constantly.
That's how you.
I used to buy CDs for $5 out of a guy's backpack.
Was he stealing them or were they bootleg?
Bootleg.
Bootleg. Okay. Okay.
Did you ever steal any music?
I don't think so.
Man, I stole a ton of music.
I don't think I actually stole music. I mean, I stole plenty of crap out of stores. And that was about music.
Well, not in a music store.
I stole a lot of porn magazines.
Not in a music store. I never stole music in a music store.
Oh, stealing like CDs from somebody else?
I definitely did that.
Okay.
Oh, what, you mean like from someone's home?
At a party?
Yes.
What did you grab?
Some dude had a party and we didn't, for some reason we had decided he had slighted us. I don't remember what happened.
Yeah.
And we took the whole case.
You took all the CDs.
Yeah.
Jesus, how many did he have?
It was like one of those big ones where it was like four on a page.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
It was a good selection. Dude had a lot of good music.
Oh, man. Yeah, I was stealing them like from the Kmart.
Yeah, it was like Target, Kmart.
Right, because you had the bigger box stores, you know what I mean? They just didn't have security then. They didn't have cameras then.
Well, they used to take like all the cassette tapes before they put them in cassette jail. They would throw them in like just big bins. It was a big bin in the middle of the aisle. So it's just these loose cassette tapes and still never stole any.
But we witnessed basically the anti-theft beginning of retail shopping. So
witnessed it because we were responsible for stealing all
of
the
crap. Now you
got
to walk by through metal detectors, and there's little metal things on these things, or things that needed to be popped off before purchase, or you'd set the alarm off. It got a lot more complicated as life went on.
It really did. The last thing that I stole that I can remember was a pair of shoes from Value City. And basically, I walked in, I found a pair of shoes, I liked the fit, and I just put them on and walked out of the store. And I thought I was going to get caught. They had a security guard there.
Yeah.
But they didn't have all like the security in the shoes themselves. But I remember walking down the hall or down the aisle. And inside of my house, it's not like your shoes here.
Mm-hmm.
So you can always sell like new shoes. Like, security guard looks at me. I look at him. He's like, have a good day. I'm like, cool.
I'm in.
Yeah, it's the last thing I shoplifted.
Fresh pair.
Yeah.
What did you get in trouble
nice
for? And what was the punishment? 206-421-ROCK.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
The men's room is in progress. 99.9 KISW and KISW HD1 Seattle.
Our question, what did you get in trouble for and what was the punishment? 206-421-ROCK.
Oh, boy. All right, there we go. Hello, Dave. Welcome to the men's room.
Liquor and whores.
Liquor and whores.
How are y'all doing today?
Doing great, man. It's a positive Friday. Thank you.
Positive Friday.
There you go.
You know, Thrill, Miles, I am a little older than both of you, and I have had my you-know-what whoop more times than none. But the one that brings back most memory, I think I got into an argument with my little sister, and we went to Dairy Queen for ice cream, and my mama got a little bit mad at me, and she decided to bust three wooden hairbrushes on my little tush, because I could not stop laughing.
Okay.
In the Dairy Queen parking lot.
In the Dairy Queen parking lot. And the worst part of it was the more she hit me, the more I laughed.
Yeah, you can't egg on your parents.
Because they'll keep beating
you.
But
I
did
mean,
you...
I've been the quarter mile walk down to get the switch, which I still don't understand why they call it a switch. It's more like a torment.
Did you get Dairy Queen? See, if I'm the parent in this situation, I'm like, look, you can laugh all you want. We're a Dairy Queen. Guess who's not buying you any ice cream?
Oh, I didn't get any ice cream, but I definitely got the taste of a wooden airbrush.
Oh, man, and I'll tell you something else was a bad one, too. I don't know if this was part of your generation or not, but my stepfather and
his family members, being Italian, they wore rings that looked like they had won a Super Bowl.
Right.
And they would come they would come with the back of their hand and smack you on top of the head.
And that hurts.
With that, you have no idea how hard that thing, how bad that hurt. Like, you get whap right on the back. You're like, it hurt like...
You know, I got five kids, and I've never really spanked them like everybody else did, but in my day, and I'm sure your days as well, you know, you got your ass beat more than once.
You got your ass beat by your friend's parents if you got caught. And then they sent you home and got your ass beat
again. Teacher.
Mm-hmm. And it's crazy.
But let me just say this about the teachers, though, right? Because right now, kids are so protected. Like, they're just in bubble wrap, all right? But I'm not saying, hey, bust the kids' hands with a ruler. That seemed to be our teacher's go-to. But even the bad kids, they were bad once all day, right? So you knew sooner or later they're going to F up and do the thing because that's the kid that does the thing. But they got their knuckles hit. I'm telling you, that kid was so well behaved through every other class for the rest of the day. That S worked.
But even then, I knew for a fact, if I ever have children, I am never putting a hand on. Like, I even knew as a kid, like, look, man, if I'm ever in this position, I am the, because I knew for a fact it didn't work. It just made me more pissed off.
Makes you angry, man.
And I was going to figure out a way to get them back.
Sure.
And I did all kinds of, you know, things that were not real, real cool to make sure that I did that. So, I mean, like, look, you can mess with me, but this is not over.
And right.
And I will make sure. I did all kinds of stuff. I used to take guns and sell them back to pawn shops.
Right.
And take the money. Because in West Virginia, we had an arsenal. So we got four 22s. I'll take one and sell it.
Yeah.
And I take it and sell it. Hey, what happened to that 22? I don't know, man. Which one?
I don't know what you're talking about.
I have $200 in my pocket.
Seems like you should be more responsible and find your guns.
Exactly.
Ridiculous, man. You're a gun owner. You should know where they're at.
They're locked up, right?
There you go.
Not my bad.
Make money and guilt them.
Exactly. What did you get in trouble for, and what was the punishment? 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Dill. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
How you guys doing today?
Doing great, Dill. Thanks, man. Positive Friday.
Positive Friday.
Positive Friday.
Yeah, there you go. So, Dill, what did you in trouble for? What was the punishment?
So, I usually got in trouble. You know, I got spankings, back, you know, sent to my room, got grounded, all that stuff. But I remember one time, my mom got fed up and she bought this computer chair. You know, the kind with the wheels and it rotates?
Sure.
Yeah. Well, I don't know what I said. I was with my friends at the house, and we were getting a little loud. My mom told me to keep it down, and I mouthed off to her. And I found out what the chair was for. She sat me down in the chair. She sat down in the chair. And then she told me to come over. She grabs my hand and holds it above my head, and she pulls my pants down, so I'm just in my drawers. And she starts spanking me, and I try to run away. But I'm spinning in a circle because she's sitting in this chair. And so I try to run away from her outward, and the chair just followed me. So I'm just running around the house, and she's just behind me holding my arm like a butt paddle in Xavier.
Mm-hmm.
Just, yeah, it was a bad time.
Like a chair.
I don't think I mouthed off to her again.
Oh, no. Mom was never the problem for me. I felt like I could give my mom a little bit of lip, but ultimately I knew that that's not where the punishment's coming from.
Well, I think that's universal. Even when I get home now, you know, the kids will have done whatever it is they've done. I gave my wife's side of the story, and I found that when I go to speak to them, one, she's already said, hey, your dad's going to talk to you. And keep in mind, most of the time, you're kind of laughing before you go and talk to your kids. Like, they did what, man? Like, Jesus Christ. You can't help it. But what the kids don't know is that on some level, you do think that what they did was kind of funny. Because roll in, I just do the mean mug. Mm-hmm. But the first thing is always like, hey, come here. You know I need to talk to your ass. Go to your room, right? So, and you leave them in there like 5 minutes, smoke a cigarette, watch some of the news. Because whatever they're telling themselves in the room is so much worse than anything that's going to come out of my mouth. So I just try to put my voice a little more bass, and you just keep eye contact. That's one thing. Mm-hmm. Like, you must maintain eye contact with me through this entire conversation, and generally these things go away. I don't know why they listen to you. It's like, because they're scared. That's why. Same reason to listen to my dad, but now that I'm a dad, I realize how many times the reason it took him a minute to talk to me, because he had to finish laughing about what I did before he walked in the room. Like, you can't crack that smile with them, because once they know that you actually find it kind of funny, then it's over with. That's it. I mean, the closest I can get to really being me and my kids is telling them what my parents did to me in mm-hmm. similar situations. And I can't believe it. And about a year ago, I guess, I don't even remember what it was. But it's just one of those things where I am effing pissed off at them, right? So I'm giving them lip about whatever the hell it was. And I was like, you know what, man? And you guys don't even know this. I'm like, you're getting off easy. Because if I had done this at your age, pop, pop, that real nice guy that you guys think is so fun, he'd have beaten the living hell out of me. And they're like, pop, pop. I'm like, yes! You know him as this nice old man. I'm like, that is not how he was. I'm telling you right now. And if you did to him what you just did to me, he would have beaten you half to death. But they don't even believe
it. Even if you get beat by a belt when you get home, mm-hmm. The worst punishment in my mind, and this is a good thing about being on a team, and one of the worst things about being on a team, is the coach. So a coach's punishment to me was always the worst because it was not necessarily always directed at something that I did. Maybe we had an offensive lineman jump off sides, or maybe we didn't get down the court fast enough or whatever. But the coach would basically kill you by the end of the practice.
Oh, yeah.
So for sure. You would run nickel dimes in basketball. You'd run nickel dimes in football, which means you go touch the 10 with your hand. You come back to the goal line. You go to the 20. You go to the goal line. You go to the 30. You go to the goal line. He would make us puke. He would put us in Oklahoma drills. He would absolutely ruin your life. By the time you got home, you didn't even want to eat dinner.
Right.
You were so sick, you know what I mean? Like physically ill from the punishment. And I mean, it was good team building, I guess. But it typically, if one person effed up, then everybody had to get down, do push-ups, do sit-ups.
Yeah, but that's the best way to do it, right? Because it's look, I'm not being mean. You guys will take care of that. Right, because I assume once you got into the locker room, like, hey, Jones!
Mm-hmm.
You
know and that continues into the NFL. I mean, the same
NFL,
thing
NFL, military.
True.
I mean, the worst practice I ever had in my life was in eighth grade for baseball, because these other two idiots stole sodas. So then Coach Prada found out about it, and they sat there, and for 2 hours, we ran and did push-ups and sit-ups.
And what did you guys say to those two?
Choice words.
Yeah, I was going to say that. Right, let people police mm-hmm. themselves.
You know what that one idiot does now?
What's that?
Owns a Michelin star restaurant. He's a very good chef.
Really?
Like when you're bitter about it.
Yeah. Right.
We were stole the soda. No, he's a chef.
And apparently doesn't give anybody a discount.
Yeah. We were in a bar one night.
You should at least get a free soda.
Right?
We were in a bar one night.
We were doing those sprints.
And I can't remember what the deal was, but I don't know if my buddy said something to the bartender that was not cool.
You did?
No, I didn't. This was not on me. But I was in the bar, and it was 2 a.m., okay? So this is closing time. I don't know if it was directed about closing or why can't we stay or the tab or the hot bartender. I'm not sure exactly what it was. But that gets back to the coach. The next day, we all walk in. We all go in. They're all waiting for us. All of us were in there that night.
Right.
We had to run steps. Now, this stadium is a pretty big stadium. And when we say run steps, that meant you had to run the steps 5 times.
Jesus.
The entire stadium, 5 times. Now, after you run the stadium once, your legs are pretty well toast.
Sure.
But then after that, you have to go practice. So the worst thing about that was, I'm sure in the military, it's probably pretty similar. You know what I mean? It's just far as, right. I'm going to kill you. And they basically killed us. But then we had to go do everything that we normally did after that. So we were just rubber. You know what I mean? And most of us were kickers. So you kill our legs, and now nobody can kick. So you get out there, and you're just like, bong, got these rubber legs. And you're like, well, no wonder nobody can hit anything.
What did he say?
I don't remember.
That must have been something pretty good if word got back to the coach.
It went right back to the coach by the morning. The coach already, but that was their bar. That was the bar.
Okay, where all right.
It was right beside the stadium. So that was a bar we tried to sneak out one night when the hotel during two-a-days. And we got there, and when we looked in, the coaches were all at the bar. That's okay. So we went back, but we had to sneak back into the hotel because there was coaches in the lobby at that bar. So we couldn't get in. We were just like, you know, that was the bar that happened. What did you get in trouble for, and what was the punishment? 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Matthew. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bitch, hola.
Hola.
It's been 7 years since I talked to you guys. I've lived in Texas ever since, and I'm so happy. I just moved back, and I got a great story for you guys.
All right.
All right, so July 4th is a serious celebration down there in the South. And so I'm down here in this little town in North Texas, and I'm out this lake, and the whole town turns out, so it's like 10,000 people are here, and this lake, and they have a barge on it, and that's where they do their fireworks celebration. Well, my buddy showed up with a large firework in the back of his pickup truck, very large. It was like $130, I think is what it was, but this thing is 2 feet in diameter, and it had a big stake on the bottom of it, so you would stick it into the ground and fasten it in there, okay? Well, it was illegal to light them off there at the fireworks show, so everybody's watching the fireworks celebration on the lake, and I'm screwing this thing into the ground on the beach with, you know, hundreds of people around me. And as soon as the celebration was over, within about 30 seconds, I lit this big firework off on the beach, so everybody's starting to mosey out. And I lit it off, and then my buddy and I go in, into his pickup, and we start to leave. Well, that thing started going off in the background. It's, like, really dark, and it started shooting more than, it shoots more than 100 shots
Jesus.
Into the air. Very bright, very loud, and very noticeable. So we get in his pickup and start to try to get out of there, and that's when I turn around, and I notice that there's this golf cart that's chasing us with a flashlight, like moving back and forth, and I was like, man, you got to go. There's a golf cart chasing us, and he goes as far as he can. He gets stuck in traffic. This little golf cart comes up to us, man. It's a sheriff. I can't believe it had markings on the side of it that said sheriff as a golf cart, and he's so mad. This dude was spitting mad. And he was like, didn't you see me behind you? And of course, I'm like, no, I didn't see you behind me. And he was so mad, he wrote me a $516 ticket.
Jesus.
Damn.
Yeah,
on a golf cart, but you got, but dude, you got to be one of the only people who's been pulled over or arrested from a golf cart.
That's exactly right. That's why I figured you guys would like that.
Maybe it happens at the Villages in Orlando. I don't know, but I can't imagine that, you know, that happens to a lot of people.
He didn't arrest me because he had a passenger in there, so there was nothing he could do. It was some guy who was a politician or something. They were mad. I mean, we were very well known now to the town because of this. So,
oh, that's when you were well known, huh?
What were you doing down in Texas?
I married this girl, and then I left her down there, so that's about it.
You left her?
Wow, okay.
But yeah.
Okay.
But hey, she likes her parents more than me, apparently.
Yeah, man. I mean, that's the song, right? All my exes live in Texas?
Oh, yeah, you're right.
You should play that.
It proves it.
We can play that if we do Bad Choice Friday.
Uh-huh.
What did you get in trouble for, and what was the punishment? 206-421-RIDE.
By the way, I'm very worried when he said we had one firework. It was big.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You don't generally hear... One firework.
Because all the fireworks that you could buy with $130, you could have your own private display going on for a few hours.
Right.
But instead, you do one shot.
One.
It's like putting all your money on the roulette table with one spin on one number.
I mean, right. Sir, that is a rocket.
Right.
At that point. Hello, Don. Welcome to the men's room.
Oh, goodbye, Don.
I haven't heard the dong in a while.
We got dong-donged.
Oh.
D-D. Never been dong-donged before. That's a double D. Hello, Alex. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bitches.
Hola.
Happy Positive Friday.
Positive Friday.
All right. So I don't know if you guys are familiar with this event, but there used to be events that used to get put on quite a bit by Zoomies. It was called Couch Tour.
Couch Tour? What is that?
Couch Tour. It was basically it was a skate event. Local bands would show up. Some big names would show up. Skate crews like the Fallen Team, Enjoy Team, stuff like that. Guys would show up. And basically, a bunch of us got together and caused havoc. I mean, that's basically what it was. Well, anyway, I ended up working it that year, and I believe I was in junior high or something like that. Well, the punishment didn't really reflect solely on me, which is kind of the worst part about it. But basically what happened was is we ended up getting 27 of us together, and we actually started from one side of the mall to the other and completely skated the whole entire mall while getting chased by 16 security guards or something like that.
They seriously chase you while you're skating?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And I was working at the time, too. I was security, supposedly.
No, wait,
so anyway, that resulted in basically, I can't remember, but I don't think there was another Couch Tour after that, because they had shut it down due to people getting in too many fights, guys like us doing that kind of stuff. So, which I think was the worst punishment because, you know, I'll take a punishment for what I do wrong, but man, when it ruins the fun for everybody else, that's worse to me than anything.
Yeah. So did they actually catch you then as you're skating through the mall?
Oh, hell no. No, I actually went right back to work afterwards. They never caught me. We sped off fast enough, hid for a little bit, and then I was still on the clock, and then so I got paid for this and then just, you know, kept on working.
That's awesome.
That actually sounds like fun, man. Yeah. I mean, I know you're not supposed to do it, but like that sounds like a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, skateboarders catch a lot of hell.
Anywhere they skate that's not a skate park, inevitably someone gives them grief. We got a couple of guys out in front of our building. There are a few places for them to try tricks. And I understand what they want to do. Kind of the shallow staircase, a few other things. And doesn't bother me. And frankly, most of the guys that do it are pretty damn good.
Yeah, it's pretty entertaining.
But they get about 2 minutes, right? And they're not messing with anyone. They really do to stick to themselves. And they're skating down. And this guy wants to hit his jump. And security eventually, they roll out of the front. Like, guys, you can't be here. But the last time I saw him chase the kids off, to our security team's credit, kid's like, look, man, please just let me try to stay. He could not stick the landing going down the stairs. So the one older lady security guard that's in, she was like, go ahead. And sure enough, my man nailed it. And he's just like, thanks. She's like, all right, don't come back.
She comes down with her hands on her hips and just looks at people and you just go, oh, sorry.
She's disappointed. Right? She found people, what was it, about 6 or 7 months ago
having
in the parking garage.
Sex.
In the parking. And so she's telling us, I just busted two people having sex in the parking garage. We're like, well, what do you do? And she's like, well, I made them leave, but they're disgusting. They didn't put down a towel or anything. I mean, if you're going to have sex in the parking garage, at least lay something down. And we realize, like, she's mad because you're dirty, not so much.
Right.
She thinks you're a filthy disgrace.
Who does that without a blanket?
Yeah, didn't their knees hurt?
Yeah, right.
What did you get in trouble for, and what was the punishment? 206-421-ROCK.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.